The Defense Department is struggling to cut its civilian workforce without closing facilities. Most DOD work outside the Pentagon. They're at bases, depots, other places that may no longer be needed. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins us with details on DOD's challenges to meet its budget and draw down its active forces. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
All right, so why is DOD's reductions in civilian workforce dependent on its ability to close down bases?
Because in many ways, they believe there's nowhere else left to cut. When you look at the administrative work, the headquarters, places like that, they feel like they've already cut it down, as they say, to the bone. There's no fat left. And that belief comes after the services, the agencies, the combatant commands, and, of course, this Office of Secretary of Defense all are taking a 20% reduction in staff in 2014, and that will save about $5 billion. But think about this. The staffing of these offices, mostly civilian and contract workers, really only account for about 2% of DOD's total budget. And then even if you remove that 2% or a big majority of that 2%, that's not a whole lot of money going back into what they call the needs for modernization and readiness. So without a lot of room to cut, the Pentagon's got to start looking at other areas outside of headquarters or these administrative personnel. Christine Fox is the acting Deputy Secretary of Defense.
Frankly, beyond the headquarters staffs, our civilians are outside of the Pentagon, right? They're outside of headquarters. They're out at depots. They're doing work. They're at shipyards. So that kind of brings us back to BRAC. And there are civilians at bases doing base management and base functions. Until we can consolidate our infrastructure, we'd love to do some efficiencies in depots. We've got a whole set of proposals. All of them will require a BRAC. So until we get to the BRAC, our ability to significantly do more on our civilian workforce, since so much of it is not headquarters as people think, it's actually people out there doing real things, we will be constrained in how much more we can bring down our civilian workforce.
Now, Fox says DOD would like to close about 25% of its facilities based on what they project their active and reserve components will be over the next few years. Now, Robert Hale is the comptroller of the Defense Department, at least for a few more weeks. His replacement, Mike McCord, had his confirmation hearing yesterday. Hale echoes Fox's plea for more BRAC, or more the ability to do a BRAC as a way to deal with workforce cuts. But Hale says no matter if Congress approves another round of BRAC or not, the civilian workforce will shrink.
No, I think we'll see continued some downward trends in our civilians. I mean, it probably would be larger if we had BRAC authority and could close bases, because, as I said, that's where a lot of our civilians work. But we are looking at reorganizations like management headquarters, but others as well. And frankly, some of our workload is coming down, especially in the out years. As wars end, as we get beyond the reset issues, our depots will need fewer people and places. So organizations like the Army and others will see a decline in their needs. So you're going to see a decline in civilians. It would be bigger if we were allowed to get rid of some infrastructure we don't need.
Now, Hale feels that if DOD can't get rid of the people they need to get rid of, meaning the people who unfortunately don't maybe have a job anymore or aren't supposed to have a job if they close these bases, they'll end up having to get rid of those that they actually do need, such as the acquisition workers as an example, or other people in key roles like cybersecurity as an example, that maybe they say, well, when you look at it, we can only get rid of who we can get rid of, and that's where they fall. So there's, I think, a lot of fear about that their hand will be forced.
So Congress, meanwhile, many people there have said that they don't want another base realignment and closure. So why is the Pentagon pushing for this? I mean, do they think that they're going to be able to change Congress's mind?
Well, I think they always think they're going to be able to change Congress's mind, right? I mean, that's why they put out these proposals each year. I think the reason why this year may be different than past, and maybe they can get Congress on their side, is this idea of BRAC will be different than the 2005 round. Christine Fox, the acting Deputy Secretary of Defense, says that she thinks Congress may be more open to DOD's approach once they understand it.
BRAC typically is an efficiencies initiative. And as I said, we feel that we're about 25% greater number of bases than we need for the size of the force that we're moving toward. So what we would like to do is consolidate our infrastructure to support the needs of the forces that we have. 2005 did two things. It was an efficiencies BRAC, but it was also a restructuring BRAC. And there was a lot of restructuring, additional force protection, and so forth. So the combination of those two things under one BRAC process put it sort of a separate kind of BRAC than any of the others that we've experienced. It made it more expensive, frankly, to get going, and it actually, our ability or the department's at the time's ability to estimate the cost of that BRAC, there were a lot of cost overruns on it, as I'm sure you're aware. So that's not the model for the BRAC that we are proposing, although, as I said, it is saving us money. Even that very expensive BRAC that included a lot of restructuring, we're saving about $4 billion a year now.
Now, Fox says the other reason Congress may be more open to BRAC is because the workforce reductions, in part, are coming from mandates from Congress. So if DOD needs help, someone's got to help provide it, and I think BRAC may be one of those avenues that the Congress could get on board. Now, even if Congress doesn't come through with that help, even if they say no more BRAC, Defense Secretary Hagel said earlier this week at the 2015 budget rollout press conference that DOD will use any lawful means to close bases and reduce infrastructure. Now, what does that mean exactly? Well, it could mean several things, but there is a provision in the law that gives the DOD ability to close some bases under a certain size without Congress really acting. All they really would need to do is disapprove of DOD's decision, and there's some feeling that Congress can't get out of its own way to end up disapproving of the decision. So by the time the decision was made and the timing, the clock started on how long Congress has to disapprove, they wouldn't get it done, so DOD then would be able to close some bases. And in some ways, it could potentially even save political face for members of Congress.
They promised a year of action. We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Now, all of this ties to the civilian compensation issue, health care pay, benefits. How are they getting? How is DOD getting Congress to buy into this whole thing?
Yeah, I think it's all related because personnel, which this was surprising me about personnel, it accounts for a third of the DOD's total budget. So this is, you know, the pay, the benefits, all the pieces to it. And especially around healthcare, costs are only rising, and DOD really needs to say, okay, how, and they've been saying this for several years now, how can they reduce or at least stop the upward trend of the rising costs? So this year, DOD is trying to take maybe a bit of a lighter touch when it comes to proposed changes to compensation and benefits. But again, if they don't do something, Christine Fox and others say that amount will only continue to rise. Now, Bob Hale says DOD has been able to hold costs steady or seen only minimal increases over the last year when it comes to health care. But again, the expectation is only going up. Now, Fox says she recently testified before Congress about compensation and some related issues and, again, tried to explain to them why compensation needs to be addressed.
Quality of life of our men and women in the military, pretty high. Pay is good. Housing is high quality. Rec centers, good. Everything, commissaries, good. I mean, they have good quality of life. And they recognize that, and they like it, and they should. They should have good quality of life. They deserve every dime of quality of life we can give them. But they also deserve good quality of service. So they leave a nice house with a good paycheck, had a nice opportunities to spend some money on their family, appropriate family programs, training, education, and they go to their unit, whether it's a ship or a ground combat unit or whatever, and what do they find there? They find that they're not able to fly, they don't have parts, people are short, they're picking up the slack for somebody else because the manning is inadequate. And there's a real distinction drawing in our service now between quality of life and quality of service. And this isn't me that talking. I learned this from our service chiefs. They're the ones that have brought this forward through our teamwork, our deliberations over the past year.
Now, Fox says the service chiefs are making it a very compelling case to take some of those savings that they could save out of quality of life and put them into quality of service. She says the modest proposals that will be submitted to Congress next week will only bring in about $25 to $50 billion, but still that could be put right into the readiness accounts, which have fallen short, have really taken a big hit because of cuts from sequestration. Now, Fox says she may be optimistic, but she believes this message about quality of life versus quality of service is starting to come through. In fact, she says Secretary Hagel met with veteran service organizations and military services organizations earlier this week to discuss this quality of life versus quality of service issues, and she says that these organizations seem to start understanding the challenges DOD faces and may be more willing to be open to some changes. Now, if you remember, these organizations specifically have been, you know, they've done the scorched earth theory in many regards in the sense that they believe nothing should be changed, that the that the DOD, the government has a contract with these service members and veterans, and they make their case pretty well.
Jason, I have a couple of questions. She, first of all, on the quality of service, was she saying that when they leave their housing, they find that they go to places where the depots are run down, the helicopters are broken? Is that the kind of thing she was talking about with quality of service?
Absolutely.
Lack of maintenance and so forth?
Right. We're at home or their home base, that things are fine and they have a great quality of life. But when they go to do their job, their mission, they find things aren't being repaired. I'll give you one example. Bob Hale, the comptroller, says the backlog where they're at now with the maintenance at depots is almost the levels of the 1990s. And that was incredible, meaning that there's this growing backlog of at work that needs to be done, but no money for that work to get done.
Okay, and my other question concerns this whole idea of BRAC, and Ms. Fox mentioned that she wants to get the bases to match the forces they'll have. But it reminds me a little bit of some of these local school districts when they close elementary schools and all of a sudden there's a giant 10 new neighborhoods built and suddenly they're either adding trailers, or portables as they call them, or they have to get schools back that they had sold off or build new schools. I mean, what about the long term if you shrink down the infrastructure to the tiny army that they're going to propose? What if it grows by another 50,000 for some reason?
Well, I think part of what they're saying is they don't expect to do any more what they call stability actions in the future. They don't want to have an army that can go into an Iraq or an Afghanistan and be there for a decade or more. And I think because that their planning is not that type of planning, they don't expect to have to grow the size of the military by huge amounts, unless obviously something dramatic happens, which then, you know, all bets are off the table anyways. But there's no future belief that the way they're planning, you know, the out years, the long-term strategy, that they'll have to have a force of 500,000-600,000 people that actually can come down lower to what they call post-World War II levels. But even Christine Fox says, hey, don't forget the technology now is much, much different than it was in 1939, 1940.
Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Jason, thanks as always for joining us.
My pleasure.